Good morning, this is Brother James Melton, Bible Baptist Church of Sharon, welcoming you to the Bible Baptist broadcast. Bible Baptist Church meets at 130 East Main in Sharon, Sunday school 9:30, preaching 11 o'clock. Following the preaching, we always have a meal right here at the church, and then following the meal, we have an afternoon service at 2:30. So you're welcome to be with us for any or for all of that, including the Wednesday night services at 7 p.m. All right, if you have your Bible, let's go to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. I'm going to try to move quickly and cover all of this today. Our broadcast is only 15 minutes. So if I, you may want to jot down some notes and check references later if you can't keep up. I'm not going to look at a lot of scripture, but Genesis 9 for starting. Genesis chapter 9. And I've had people ask me numerous times throughout the years, does the Bible say anything about America? Does the Bible say anything about America? And my answer is yes, I believe it does. It doesn't use the word America, but I do believe there are references in the Bible that refer to the United States of America. I would like to give you what I consider to be the two biggest references in the Bible to the United States, one from the Old Testament and one from the New, okay? Again, it doesn't say United States. It's not going to say America or American people, but I think what it does say lines up and matches America more than any other country in the history of the world. Genesis 9 and verse 27. Let me give you just a little bit of background. Genesis 9:27. What's going on here is Noah is a patriarch in the Bible, and he is passing a blessing on to his three sons. His three sons are Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The flood has taken place and drowned out the entire civilization, and God has said, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth." So Noah and his family are going to repopulate and spread out and repopulate the earth. These three sons are named Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem is the son that migrates eastward, and he is the father of the Oriental people. Ham is the son that migrates southward and becomes the father of largely the African people. And then Japheth is the older brother, and he is the son that migrates northward and westward and is the father of the European people. And of course, the European people end up going across the Atlantic and populating North America, the New World, you know, Columbus, and then later the Pilgrims and the great Puritan migration to follow and the later in the 1600s and so forth. Noah says something quite interesting to his sons. Genesis 9:27, God shall enlarge Japheth. All right, if you just want to remember those four words as a direct reference to the United States of America, I don't think you would go wrong. God shall enlarge Japheth. And he goes on to say, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. The American Indian just happened to be from Shem. And what did Jacob do? Japheth do? He came over and took over this land and literally inhabits this land now instead of Shem being the predominant inhabitant of the land. You say, well, was that good or bad? That was good. God did not want people inhabiting this continent who worship totem poles and the spirit of grandpa. God wanted Christianity. God wanted the principles of his word being propagated throughout this land, and that's why we are here. Now, all of that happened going clear back. I know that's not politically correct, but I don't buy radio time to be politically correct, okay? I'm a preacher. I preach the word of God. Going back in history, our people, the European people, and specifically the ones that were Christians, were subject to the Church of England back in the 1500s, 1600s. And the Church of England was growing very corrupt, and we said, hey, this is not working out. We got to do something. Some folks stayed there, known as the Puritans. They tried to stay and purify the corrupt church. Others said, we're getting out of here. So we left. The Pilgrims left and went to Holland for, I think, about 12 years. And then we began to realize, you know, it's not any better here. So we're going to have to make a bigger move than this. So we got a boat, eventually, a boat called the Mayflower. And we took that boat and we came across the Atlantic to the New World. And we landed at a place called Plymouth. And up there, there's a thing called Plymouth Rock. And that is a rock that's got the number 1620 on it to mark the year in which we came here. And from there, we began to expand and populate. And down south, you had the Jamestown settlement, James, King James, from England as well, obviously. So all the Europeans began to settle in this North American continent and expand. God shall what? Enlarge Japheth. And boy, did he. And we got all the way over to the Mississippi, and we decided after that, that's not enough, so we're going further. And we went clear across, went clear out west, the gold rush and all of that, the Louisiana Purchase, as you remember. And now we've got this entire massive chunk of land between these two big bodies of water that up until, quite honestly, modern times, the last few hundred years, was not civilized, was not populated, and now it largely is. So now we can do good with it or do bad with it, but historically we have done mostly good things with this country. We have educated people. We have sent out missionaries from churches and into all parts of the world. We have fed the world largely. We have went and given our soldiers on foreign battlefields to liberate countries and to take down evil dictators and make a good positive difference. And there's all kinds of things that can further be said about that. But you know, I believe when he said God shall enlarge Japheth, there's probably no other nation that had been a stronger fulfillment of that than the United States of America. I think that is fair to say. All right, we could say more about that, but we would run ourselves out of time. So let's go to the New Testament now. Again, I know what I just said is not politically correct. I got that. Okay, but being a preacher of the Word of God, I don't mean to sound unkind, but I honestly, just to be truthful with you, I don't care. Okay, I care about what is true. I care about what is right. And what did happen is the European people came over here and did more with this country, more with this land, and more with our resources in the past 200-300 years than anyone else did with it in thousands of years. Okay, now that's the fact of history, and I believe that's the result of God fulfilling his promise that he would enlarge Japheth. So if you want an Old Testament reference to America, I don't think you can do better than Genesis 9:27. All right, New Testament, Revelation and chapter 3, if you will. Revelation, book of Revelation, chapter 3. I will give you just a little bit of background here without having to go into a lot of detail. We are currently living in what is called the Day of Grace or the Church Age. The Church Age has not always existed. There was no Church Age in the Old Testament. And after Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom, there will be no church age during the kingdom. It'll be the kingdom age. So there's different ages and different dispensations, different time periods in the Bible. But for the past 2,000 years, since the time of Christ, we have been in what is known as the church age or the dispensation of grace. And that dispensation, that period of time, is actually broken down into seven sections, okay? And those seven sections are mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. in the name of seven different churches. Historically, there were seven distinct churches that God chose to use to illustrate the different church periods that would exist for the next 2,000 years. We are now in the last one in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 22. That last church period is represented by a church called Laodicea. And it's not a good one. It's a bad, lukewarm, a half-hearted church that has major problems, just like the churches of today, for the most part, have major problems. The church before that was a very good church, and it's said to be the church in Revelation 3:8 that kept God's word. Revelation 3:8, I know thy works, behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now today, they're not keeping his word. Today, they're letting men marry men, women marry women, they're letting women preach, they're letting lesbians get in the pulpit, I mean everything, it's just gone nuts. But the old-time church, what we call the old-time religion, was not from Laodicea. It's from the old way, from back in the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s. Anytime somebody talks about the Great Revival, they don't talk about anything that happened in your lifetime. They talk about what happened back in the 1700s and 1800s under the preaching of George Whitefield, John Wesley, Gilbert Tennant, Peter Cartwright, Schubert Stearns, maybe Billy Sunday coming on up a little ways, the old-timers, the old-time preachers. And if you got some of those that were still real good and maintained the old-time religion, coming into the 1900s, and the people that were trained by them or influenced by them maybe continued that tradition, but I claim to be doing that myself, in fact. But for the most part, the old way has been forsaken and the old time religion is gone. Well, in the 1700s and 1800s, it was not gone. It was very real. It was very alive. And God said that that church kept his word. What church is it called? Revelation 3, verse 7. Under the angel of the church in what? Philadelphia. Philadelphia. Now, that was a town in Asia Minor, a city in Asia Minor, back in the first century, in ancient times. But I find it interesting, very interesting, that that church is, that Philadelphia means brotherly love. And God said about that church in verse 8, verse 7, the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, the he that is true, he that hath kept the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Verse 8, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee, and what? Open door. Open door. I have set before thee, before who? Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia, an open door. Friend, it is no accident that the greatest document, human document, ever penned, that not the Word of God itself, obviously that's the greatest document ever, but human document ever penned that promoted freedom for mankind was the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I'll give you one guess what city it was signed in. Philadelphia. Now, I know that's a different Philadelphia. I got that, but isn't that interesting? He said about Philadelphia, I set before thee an open door. You know what our Bill of Rights has in it as the First Amendment? Freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. That's why the United States has been an open door for the gospel to the whole world. And it happened in Philadelphia. I don't think you can ignore that's a reference to the United States of America. I set before thee an open door, and thank God it's still open. This is Brother Malta. May the Lord bless you, and good day.